vážení televizní diváci, máme dnes v rozhovoru Britských textů opravdu výjimečnou osobnost. Čeští diváci ho neznají. Pan John Tjusa je původem Čech, ale v Británii je to opravdu významná osobnost. Je to, nebo býval to britský Václav Moravec, jestli ho mohu takto srovnat. Dlouhá léta byl velmi významným investigativním reportérem vlajkového pořadu televize BBC Newsnight a potom byl generálním ředitelem zahraničního vysílání BBC. Dnešní rozhovor Britských listů vysíláme z filmového festivalu v Jihlavě a s panem Johnem Tjusou jsme tam hovořili o budoucnosti novinářské práce. Já si myslím, že je to velmi aktuální téma. Budeme od této chvíli hovořit anglicky, já se zase omlouvám za ty titulky, ale je to tak, Mr. Tjusa. You are an experienced journalist. What is, in your view, the most important question, problem facing journalism now?
I think the most important problem is that if you think that I began working in journalism 60 years ago, in 1960, I had never known a time when journalism was more under threat than it is today. And after all, for the first 40 years of my life, there was the great struggle between the West and communist ideological control of journalism. But today, what do we have? We have journalists who are being murdered by the state, by a state, and not just one. We have journalists who are murdered by commercial or criminal interests, and we have less and less tolerance and acceptance of the independence of journalism. And then we have something which I refuse to talk about, but I will mention, and that is the whole idea of fake news. And I've decided I'm never going to talk about fake news for reasons I may explain later. And these things threaten the basis of the independent, authoritative journalism on which I think pre-open democratic societies depend. So it is a very dangerous time. It's not about hope, but we must recognize it is very dangerous.
You said you don't want to talk about fake news. I don't know whether, actually this isn't one of the major problems. I was rewatching this film by George Clooney from 2005. I don't know whether you are aware of it. Good Night and Good Luck. This is a film about the McCarthy era in America. A famous American broadcaster, Ed Munro, exposes McCarthy in an investigative program on American television, and that's it, problem solved, right? Yes. I mean, everybody sat back, said wonderful, and the problem was solved. That doesn't exist anymore these days. People do not believe investigative journalism. They do not believe analysis. They do not believe facts. They do not want it. How do we tackle that? How do we deal with this?
Well, I think that in one sense, if somebody says fake news, I ignore it, because that's not an argument, that is abuse. It's name calling.
Yes, of course.
So why should one respond to name calling? If you think of, I think the moment when the idea of fake news, I said I wouldn't talk about it, but here we are, appeared, and that was at the inauguration of President Trump.
Of course, yes.
And they said there were record numbers that came to the inauguration, and then the images were shown, and they were clearly many fewer people came to the Trump inauguration than to the Obama. And so although you had the picture, this was dismissed as fake news. Well, this is just lying. And if somebody lies, I don't see why we should spend our time arguing with it.
This is all very well, but the problem is that, as I'm trying to explain, I mean, when watching that fantastically idealistic film about 1953, of course, I suppose the situation wasn't simple even then, but nevertheless, here, journalists these days are working in a totally different environment. You may have noticed that after this attack on George Soros with that bomb, a few days ago, his son wrote in the New York Times that we were always attacked for being Jewish, But this was all until recently it was totally marginal. Now it has become mainstream. And the problem is, of course, Facebook and all these social networks. And how, what do you propose to tackle this problem that an investigative professional journalist who's working under editorial control and is concentrated on facts is working within the context of rubbish, is being swamped by rubbish on the social networks? What do we do about this?
Well, the first thing to do is you don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very important.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You don't stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said you can always tell fake news or what goes on the social media, because when somebody in that environment states or reports something which is wrong and inaccurate, they never correct it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the characteristics
of
the social media world is they never correct.
This is a very good point.
That ought to be a warning signal. So you keep on doing it. And by the way, various friends who I've been speaking to have said, look, you mustn't be too pessimistic. Various reasons. Number one, newspapers are still existing and are making some money behind paywalls.
Mm-hmm.
One friend put it like this. He said, the flight from free is over.
Mm-hmm.
That is the notion that everything has to be free.
Yes, I know.
And that unless it is free, then you know, why should you pay for it? And this friend said, the flight from free is over, and they recognize, we recognize, that there are, people will pay for premium.
Mm-hmm.
And premium is good, serious journalism, and very often long-form journalism. Somebody said to me, you must understand, there's more long-form journalism around now than there has been for a very, very long time. He said, look back 20, 30 years. There wasn't as much long-form journalism as there is now, and people are paying for it, for premium journalism and for journalism behind paywalls. Now, of course, this is a big shift in the way that the media and public information operates, but it's not a negative shift. And I do think that in many respects we have to hold our nerve. Everything you've said, I recognize and I agree with you. We have two choices. Either we say, fine, that's it. We give up on the journalism which has so many values. And I don't think that a society or a political entity can exist if it's not, if it doesn't have as part of it open, informed, professional, edited, publicly responsible journalism. And the social media do not provide that. Again, somebody said, if somebody writes a blog, who do you know who they are? Who are they? They might be an avatar for somebody. They may be being paid for something.
Yeah.
And we have to learn, maybe the hard way, to be much more critical of this one supposedly wonderful world where everything is free, everybody has an opinion, and that. But we first, we have to keep on doing what we do.
You're a BBC man. Let me attack the BBC. especially in this situation over the past few years with Brexit. There has been quite a lot of criticism that the BBC, and I wonder what you think about this, that the BBC is kind of stuck to this notion of impartiality, no matter what. And actually there was an interesting piece by, I think, Robert Peston of ITV now, who basically said, no, the role of a public service broadcaster is to actually confront what you're being told with facts. That you cannot actually say, you cannot have somebody in the studio who said, I think all the Jews should be gassed. And you will say, well, that's an interesting view, sir.
That's your view and you're entitled to it.
Yes, they might. And this is what, and the BBC, with Brexit and with global warming, have been, for the sake of balance, inviting these flat earthers, on the other hand, and they have really failed in actually countering what are blatant lies.
Yeah.
What's your position about that?
Number one, having worked for the BBC for many years, I will always defend the BBC values.
Okay.
But I think that during the Brexit debate and during the debate about climate change, and I will call it climate change because it is, the BBC fell into the trap of thinking that if somebody presented evidence, then on the other side, so long as they produced somebody who said no, it didn't matter if that person only had an opinion. So you have facts versus opinion. And I think it was a big mistake.
And they still do keep doing it.
Up to a point, yes. And it's a big mistake to think that you can or should balance evidence with an opinion, with no evidence behind it. And I do think the BBC lost its way. And I think that, I hope that doesn't turn out to be a tragedy for this country. Somebody has evidence, and somebody has the opposite evidence, opposite facts, fine. But you don't just put somebody in who says, well, I disagree because I don't like it.
Hey, you can see how misleading the BBC narrative about Brexit is when you actually compare it with the European or even American coverage. Just read any articles about Brexit in the New York Times and then listen to the World Today, the World at 1 o'clock, you know. So it's a problem. Here in the Czech Republic, there is a problem because under communism you had censorship. And so whenever actually you raise your voice and say, no, this person is lying, they say, ah, you're destroying freedom of speech. What's your view?
Of course you're not. Freedom of speech, freedom of opinion is one thing. But you're not checking freedom of speech. What you are doing is you are testing what people have said against evidence and facts. And it is absolutely right if somebody is distorting information or actually lying that you stand up and say that. Just as I think it is a great mistake that on the social media, people can write things anonymously. And everyone says, oh, but you must let people have their voice. And if they had to say who they were, this would restrict their ability to speak. Well, as most of the things they say are vile, probably illegal, why should they have that freedom? So these are false propositions. It's not a restriction of speech, it is a challenge to what people have said. And if we give up challenge, then where are we?
So you would say that even it's the duty of state editors in newspapers to actually fact check. I mean, this is my experience. Whenever I write anything for a reputable Western newspaper, they come back to me with verification and you say this and where's the proof and reference and whatever. There is a commentator, in fact, the son of Václav Klaus Jr., who publishes constantly stuff which is easily disproved. I don't think it even has gone through any editorial process. It's in the Pravda newspaper. Somebody has recently written, does he have a sort of access to their website? And he just puts it on there without anything. So you would actually condemn this, I suppose. Okay. You would argue that the editors do have a duty to actually fact check what they're publishing.
That is their job. That is the job of journalists, actually. And yes, there will always be journalists of opinion. Yeah. Journalists who argue a case, journalists who argue a cause, but the difference between that and just putting out things which have no basis in facts or evidence is very, very different. And it has to be challenged. In the end, unless society, unless we all want to have that challenge, then it won't be. And sometimes we have to learn the hard way. And under communism, people have to learn the hard way. The people who are communists also have to learn over 20 or 30 years that they were living in a world and a society of lies. But over time, they did. I just hope it doesn't take that long before we get a proper balance between the responsible, factual nature of journalism, basically factual, with the opinionated, evidence-free, very often, world of the social media. But it does need to be rebalanced.
Well, I'm sometimes frightened because I used to always be critical about the situation in the post-communist countries, fairly destabilized the press, not particularly strong. And now, when you actually look at the West, it is as though the West is going the way of Eastern Europe. But nevertheless, you are an optimist. You have, let's recap because we have to finish. Yes. You have some very strong principles. Recap them quickly, what people should be doing.
First of all, you have to stand up. Secondly, don't allow yourself to be bullied. And there's a great deal of bullying and intimidation around. And the world of journalism, which is very broad, by the way, but is responsible, it is informed, it is based on ethics, and it is edited and supervised. And the world of information or opinion in the social media is not. And that's a choice. It ought to be a very easy choice for us to make.
Thank you very much. Děkuji vám za pozornost, vážení televizní diváci. Naschledanou.
Naschledanou.